What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano, and I'm really excited for today's conversation with Steele Johnson. It's coming up in just a minute. He's a 2016 Olympic silver medalist, Team USA diver. You remember back in 2016 when him and David Bodaya won the silver medal in the men's 10-meter synchronized platform diving competition. It was a big deal, and I remember watching that and seeing Steele and seeing David give glory to God after they accomplished what they accomplished. It was pretty cool. But then it hasn't gone smoothly for Steele Johnson since then. He's had 5 surgeries on the same foot. He actually competed at that Olympic Games in 2016 with a broken foot. And now he's gone through 5 surgeries. He missed 2020, or I guess 2021 in the Summer Olympics because of the injury. And now he's taking it day by day to see if Paris 2024 Summer Olympics could be a thing. He's very clear. He doesn't want to look too far ahead. Just kind of take it day by day. And I get it. When you're rehabbing, you don't want to make any promises or anything. I'm sure there's a goal and a hope to be out there in 2024 in Paris, but we'll see what happens. I really was impressed with talking to Steele about his faith, though. He loves Jesus and just his identity being rooted in the gospel, being rooted in the name above all names, in Jesus. So this was a great conversation with Steele Johnson. It's coming up in just a moment. First, I want to say thank you to our friends at Compassion International, the most trusted child development ministry in the world. You can go sponsor a child right now at compassion.com/sportspectrum. That's the website. Release a child from poverty in Jesus' name. Compassion does it right. Again, there's a list of children when you go to that website, compassion.com/sportspectrum, and you can pray right now about sponsoring a child today. And we're also presented today by our Sports Spectrum magazine, a quarterly magazine, 4 issues. It's faith-filled, it's family-friendly, it's clean content in the world of sports. It's very hard to find that nowadays. It's also perfect for the kids. You can go to Sports Spectrum right now, sportspectrum.com. Right now, click the magazine icon and subscribe to a 1-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You get 4 issues. We want to give you a little bonus as well for listening right now. 15% off, a very affordable subscription rate, I think. But you're going to get an additional 15% off by putting the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15, when you check out. And go to sportspectrum.com, subscribe, check out, use that code and save 15% off and subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine, again, over at sportspectrum.com. Well, it's great to have an Olympic medalist here on Sports Spectrum. Silver medalist from 2016, Team USA diver Steele Johnson is our guest today. Hey, Steele, welcome to Sports Spectrum.
Thanks for having me, Jason. I'm stoked to be here.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about Jesus in just a second, but we got to talk about the name, Steele. Like, that's just an awesome name. I mean, when you were old enough to even remember that this was your name, did you realize you were destined to kind of be an Olympian?
I guess so. I mean, my parents are Bill and Jill, and so the fact that they had 3 kids and gave them very uncommon out there names, which is really cool, it was kind of one of those things. My brother was a football player at Purdue. I was a diver with Team USA, and it's just cool that names hold power, and so to now be older and see, like, man, that's so cool. Like, you name your kid something, it's just, like, destined to be successful in this sporting era. It's really cool.
I love that. Yeah, I think names hold a lot of power. Obviously, the name above all names, as we know, is Jesus. Let's start there and talk about your faith and maybe who Jesus is to Steele Johnson right now.
Yeah, so my background is I grew up in the church, grew up going to church every Sunday. I was really involved, especially in middle school and high school, being a youth leader at my church in Indiana. And I would basically spend all my weekends at the church, and then on Wednesdays I would go to, you know, small group, whatever it was that the youth was having. And I was a worship leader on the youth team. I was in the choir for, like, what we called big church, you know, not the youth stuff. And so I just kind of grew up in that environment. All my friends went to the same church, and because I was training all day, I was homeschooled. So my friend group consisted of my teammates that I was diving with every day, and then my friends I would see at church in the evenings. And it was a really special place for me to grow up and really got that good foundation planted in me. Even though I was a part of the church, I really didn't have a relationship with Jesus until I was in college. And that's really as I was leading up to the Olympics, about a year before the Olympics, I was having this identity crisis of the stresses of trying to make this Olympic team. Growing up, everyone introduced me to other people as the kid that was going to go to the Olympics. And so, subconsciously, over time, that really started to take root in my heart. And that's really who I believed I was. I'm the kid that's going to go to the Olympics. And as these trials were coming up, I started to get stressed and really anxious about the fact that, what if this doesn't happen? What if I don't make the Olympic team? Will I still be someone? Will I have this identity, or will that be stripped out from under me? Because leading up to the Olympic trials in 2016, I learned I had a broken foot. I had a fracture in my foot, and that was something I was having to deal with of, is this going to happen? If it doesn't happen, who am I? And so it was in early 2015 that I sat down with, my mentor at the time and my synchro partner, David Bedaya. And he just kind of really laid out the gospel for me. And he had been through all this Olympic stuff before, and he had won gold in 2012. So I really looked up to him because he was just so chill through this process leading into 2016. And he just kind of laid things out for me. And having that background in the church, I really understood a lot of what he was talking about and was really able to start to develop that personal relationship with Jesus. And then from there, it's just been growing and something I've had to continue to rely on to get through every year.
Why is identity such a battle, I guess, for athletes? Because it's the word that comes up, I feel like on every conversation I have with an athlete is that word identity.
Yeah, for athletes, you're put in this specific spotlight where everyone sees you as this one specific person that does this one specific thing, especially if you're in a sport like diving. It's a small sport and you have one major event every 4 years. Everyone sees you as the diver that's working towards the Olympics. They don't see these other aspects of your life. For me growing up, yeah, I was a diver training full time, but I was also a worship leader at my church with the youth band. I loved playing video games with my friends. I loved riding bikes with them. There were so many aspects of me that a lot of people didn't necessarily ask about or care about on the surface because they were just focused on the big, exciting thing. And so us athletes get lumped into that one exciting thing that we do that everyone else seems to think is the most exciting thing ever, when in reality, it's part of our work. It's what we're working towards, but there's so many other aspects of our life.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just something that every person I talk to, male or female, struggle with. And yet, when you get it can be life-changing. When you understand that it's Olympian, diver, or the way somebody might portray you, even how I introduce you, is not who you are. It's just what you do. It's one of the things that you've done. It's once you get that, it's such a game changer.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is you work, in my case, I worked 12 years nonstop to compete about 10 seconds at the Olympic Games. And those 10 seconds changed my title from, Steele Johnson the diver to Olympian Steele Johnson to Olympic medalist Steele Johnson. But it was just 10 seconds of my life that made that change. And once the doors closed to the Olympic Village, people go on. They're excited to watch the Olympics on TV. They'll cheer for you. They'll say congratulations when you perform well. And then the months go by and life continues to go on. And then the next year rolls around and you're doing another competition. And people are less focused on what you've previously done. And they're now looking to what you're doing now. And now, being 7, almost 8 years past my Olympic experience, it's not the biggest piece of conversation. So if I'm sitting there trying to hold on to this one thing for the rest of my life, the further down that goes as time goes on, the further down I'm going to be dragged with it. And I don't want to be dragged down by my past successes that are no longer as exciting as the new Olympians going out there and winning the next set of medals.
Yeah, no, that's really good. You were really young, like you said, you were in college when you sort of grasped the idea of who Jesus is, but you're also, what, 19 when you get that Olympic moment and they have that silver medal. How did you, even though you kind of found yourself rooted in Christ, how do you think you handled success?
Yeah, I think having just turned 20 at the Olympics, it can be something like winning an Olympic medal can really boost your ego or make you feel like you're on top of the world. But like I said earlier, I had a great mentor in David Bedaya. He had been there before. He had won gold at the previous Olympics and he had handled that process so well. So I really got to see what it looked like to win well, to lose well from watching David through the years and diving right beside him. So the moment when we got that medal, we walked into those interviews and he reminded me, hey, this is an opportunity to really share what Jesus has done in our life and how thankful we are for him and his saving grace. And so it was less of a exciting moment for me to be like, wow, look how good I am. And it was more of an exciting moment of like, wow, I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. Let me just go tell as many people about it as I possibly can.
Yeah. And like you say, it's a 10 second moment of what you're doing, but it's also just a, what, 90 seconds maybe with a microphone in your face. Mm-hmm. After you have that experience of being able to point to Christ, you and David, had you talked about understanding if somebody sticks a microphone in your face, we want to deflect the glory here?
No, I think it was just a natural response to what we were experiencing. And it's just because who he is, who I am, it was just innate in us, especially in that journey, to just go through an exciting moment and just be so thankful for what the Lord has done. And us going into that interview talking about Jesus was just a natural response. It wasn't premeditated or pre-planned. We didn't talk about it before. It was, oh man, like this was an exciting event. I'm happy to be here. God is so good.
That's good. Yeah, I think it's okay to talk about it beforehand and prepare in case something good happens. But I also think it tells me, at least as I listen to you, that your heart was in the right place where it was just natural. Like out, what is it? Out of the mouth flows from what's inside the heart. And you could sense what was inside your heart was this joy of who Christ was.
Yeah, absolutely. And it thinking back to it was just such a cool moment because leading up to that competition, we had placed fourth place so many times at different events in the World Cup leading up to that Olympics. And so I wasn't expecting to end up on the podium. I knew it was a chance, but you know, we were ranked fourth technically going into it. So I was just excited to be having that Olympic experience because that was what I was working for. I wasn't working to get on the podium per se. I was working to get to the Olympics and put on my best performance possible. And at the end of the day, that landed us on the podium.
Give me one specific, and I'll just quote it this way, saying God memory, one specific God memory or moment from your time at the Olympics in Rio.
I think one of those God moments for me was the final dive we did in the synchro event. It's a back two and a half pike. I am a 6'1" diver. Most male divers are under 6 feet, so they can twist very fast, flip very well. It takes a lot more work for me to do a big dive like that really well. And leading up to the Olympics, I'd been doing that dive for many years. And almost every single time I did that dive, I did it poorly. There were probably two or three other times I had done it well enough, still not amazing, but well enough to get by. And it was one of those things in that moment, I think back and I'm just like, I don't know what overcame me, but I got a huge jump, got it moving really well. And it was still to this day, the best one I've ever done in competition or in training. I've never done another one as good as that one in the final. And that's the one that helped us secure the silver medal at the end. And I still think back to that and I'm like, I don't know what happened. That was definitely not me. That was God taking over and giving me some extra boost because there was no reason, given my training and my past ways of competing that dive, that that dive should have gone as well as it did. But it's just cool to see that there's moments in your life where the right thing can happen at the right time and you can't explain it, but you can just be thankful that it happened.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was incredible to watch. And I know you posted on Instagram. I went back and kind of dig a little Instagram digging here as we prepared for this interview. And it was right after you won the silver medal with David that you posted on Instagram. You said, God has ordained this unique relationship between David and I, and the amount of wisdom David has shared with me is incredible. I know you've touched on it a little bit, but can you kind of maybe take us through that unique relationship, how it even began to transpire? And you said how important it was, not just from an Olympic achievement perspective, but really from an eternal perspective.
Yeah, I think it's funny to see how God works in crazy ways. Whereas when I was a kid and I just started diving, I started training full time in Indianapolis at the age of 10. Both of my parents worked, so they couldn't drive me an hour to the pool and pick me up every single day. And so David Bedaya was on that team and he lived in a neighboring town. So he actually was able to pick me up at a gas station in the morning, drive me to practice. I think he was 17 at the time and I was 10. And so for a couple of years before he went off to the 08 Olympics and then off to Purdue for school, he was driving me to and from training. And so I got to know him at a really young age for me and got to watch how he trained, how he did things, and then go off see him have so much success. I was watching him, especially going into high school, and I was like, he's doing something right. So when I got to Purdue, I got to form that relationship that had already been started and really learn from him, watching him day in and day out at the pool, at practice. And then eventually we get the opportunity to dive synchro together, which just pushes me to become a better athlete. Because any kid's dream is to, you know, train with Olympians, let alone do synchro with the reigning Olympic champion. It forces you to dive up to a level you don't even know you can dive at. And so he just was really good about coaching me in and out of the pool on what it looks like to A, be a good diver, but more importantly, be a good person. And he got a lot of that wisdom from Adam Soldati, who was our diving coach in 2016. And so I had it coming from both angles, where I had a teammate who was really invested in me as a person, as an athlete, and I had a coach who was really invested in me as a person and an athlete as well. And so it was just a really good environment that was really healthy and taught me what it looked like to do this sport of diving, not just to be a good athlete, but to be a great person and a great teammate.
He is Steele Johnson, and he's joining us here on Sports Spectrum, 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Let's go back a little bit. You grew up in Indiana, and you went to Purdue. Mm-hmm. My daughter goes to school at Indiana Wesleyan, which is a little bit north and east in Marion, Indiana.
Yeah, I had some friends go there.
Yeah, it's a great school. I'm just thinking out loud, though, growing up in Indiana, was basketball on the radar at all when you were a kid, or was it just this whole diving thing?
Yeah. So growing up, I did just about every sport under the sun. You know, being a Midwest kid, that's kind of all there is to do in the Midwest growing up is It's flat and there's a lot of corn everywhere. So you got to figure out, what do I do for fun? Everyone turns to sports. And so my brother, he's a year and a half older than me. He did a lot of sports, so I would do them with him. And he was naturally gifted at pretty much every team sport. He was amazing at lacrosse. He played football at Purdue. He's amazing at basketball. I was the opposite. I was extremely bad at team sports. I cannot throw a football very well. I cannot shoot a basketball to save my life. Can't kick a soccer ball, but I could dive. I could do these acrobatic sports, this individual sport. And so it was one of those things where I never had basketball on my radar. I personally don't really even watch sports too much. And so being from Indiana, basketball still is not really on my radar. My dad was a baseball player, so that was more on my radar, but diving is where I ended up, because diving in the state of Indiana is really big. I would say that Indiana is the best state for diving in the U.S. because you've got amazing programs, amazing pools. You've got great coaches. You've got two great schools with Purdue and IU really developing amazing programs and building amazing athletes.
Yeah. What was the moment when you, I mean, it might have been when you were 10, for all I know, but when you realized this Olympic thing could become a reality for you?
Yeah, I don't think the Olympics really became a reality for me when I was super young. Even though I was training full-time, I was on the national team at age 10. I was watching my teammates go to the 08 Olympics. That was really exciting, but it was when I got second place at the Olympic trials in 2012 in the men's platform synchro event. That made me an Olympic alternate. I had just turned 16 that week, and I really sat back and thought, if I continue to apply myself, continue to work hard, it could be my turn in 4 years to go to the Olympics in Rio. And so when I was in Seattle at the Olympic trials, that was the moment where I really thought, okay, I'll be stronger, I'll be bigger, I'll be doing harder dives. I could have a shot at this. And then from there, it just started to steamroll. And I made my first World Cup. I won my first world medal in synchro. I started going to the World Series and got a lot of these really good experiences that helped build me up to be an athlete that was Olympic caliber.
Do you remember, maybe it was even post-Olympics, but what discipleship looked like in the midst of still training and still pursuing and going after and achieving and still growing in your faith? Do you remember Bible studies or anything like that that they might have, even maybe at the Olympics?
Yeah, I was really involved with FCA at Purdue. Yeah. It was a really good program there. And a lot of my friends, you know, you go to school as an athlete, you naturally become friends with all the other athletes in different sports. And a lot of my friends that I made, we would just go to FCA. So we had that weekly Bible study. Being able to do that stuff with my brother was really exciting for me too. And so FCA was something I was really involved in. When my wife and I got married, we were involved in the local church. And even when I was younger in college, I would go to a church on campus and would just be involved there, be in a Bible study there. So that's always been a big part of my life and just making sure that I'm continuing to build upon that foundation that was set when I was a kid.
One of the verses that I hear athletes use a lot is James 1, and it talks about considering it all joy when you face trials of many kind. And you mentioned the trials, even just briefly, with the foot injuries and what you've gone through. Take us through a little bit of this, because I think you said it even happened in 2015, which means in 2016, when you're becoming an Olympic silver medalist, you're still having some injuries, and those carry through all the way to today. And I'm really interested to hear what that journey's been like from that perspective. I'm sure it's been frustrating, but also trying to maintain a trust in God that He's got a plan here.
Yeah, that's definitely been the battle of this season and a lot of the previous seasons is having that foot injury in 2015. I was given that option of just continue to dive on it and hope it doesn't get worse or get surgery on it. I dove on it, hope it wouldn't get worse, and it did well for a while. I mean, I still had a fractured foot when I was competing at the Olympics, but I didn't need that surgery until 2018. And unfortunately, that first surgery set me down a path of a lot of health complications that I'm still dealing with to this day. And now, being 2024, having 5 foot surgeries, and technically it's healed, but I'm having other residual pain, still trying to navigate this rehab process. It's really been a huge trial for me to lean on the word of God and truly trust that what I'm reading in the scripture is true, that his promises are true, and that he's a healer and that he's good. And I do believe those things, but it's one of those things I have to constantly remind myself every single day, multiple times throughout the day, when my foot's in pain or things aren't going the way I had hoped, that he is still good, that he is faithful, and that he is just. And it's been a long season. It's been extremely challenging to go through an injury. It's tough to go through a surgery, but to let alone go through a surgery 5 times, the same thing on the same foot, it wears you down on a physical level, but on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level too. And it's trials like these that are building up a faith in me that I know is going to be unwavering when other trials come in the future. Doesn't make it easy in the moment, but you can take a step back and still be thankful for what the Lord is doing amidst the pain.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the healing process, not physically, but spiritually and emotionally. I'm glad you said that because there is a healing that has to take place, I think, just as much mentally in the mental side of just understanding what's happening. And then spiritually, where, yeah, we might find ourselves questioning God. And it doesn't mean we don't believe in Him or trust Him, but questioning Him. What was that process of the spiritual healing and the mental healing like, or and maybe even what you're still walking through right now?
It's definitely an ongoing process where, some days I feel good and I'm thankful, and then other days I feel terrible, my foot's hurting, and I'm really just struggling with why is this still going on? It's something where having people around you is extremely important. Having my wife by my side, she's been here through all 5 surgeries. She's been the rock for me spiritually, mentally, and physically. We live on a top floor apartment with no elevator. So after each surgery, she's had to carry my scooter up the stairs, carry me up the stairs, do things for me that, other spouses might not normally have to do when, especially they're young in their 20s. And, just having her be able to pray on my behalf when I didn't have the words to pray, or I'm struggling mentally and she's there to just listen to me or offer wisdom time and time again. It's a tough thing for someone going through an injury like this to continue to walk it out. I would say it's just as tough for the community around you or your spouse to walk alongside you in that, but they are there for you, just like you're going to be there for them whenever they need you.
Yeah, it's probably teaching you a lesson to receive for now. And then when it's time for you to give, it's your turn to step up to help someone else. So
100%.
that's really good. What's the prognosis here as far as it's late 2023, early 2024? I don't want to, make any predictions here or anything like that, but what's your hope for 2024? We have a Summer Olympics, in about 3, 4, 5 months here. What's that prognosis for you?
For me right now, I'm just focused on the day-to-day. It's easy to be future focused as an athlete in Olympic sports where you're constantly thinking in quadrants. You're thinking 4 years ahead, 3 years ahead, 2 years ahead. Right now, even though it's an Olympic year next year, my focus is to continue to make my healthy or my foot the healthiest it could possibly be. I want to be the strongest version of myself going into 2024, and I'm going to let the cards fall where they may. I'm not going to focus on results. I'm not going to focus on anything specific other than being healthy, building strength, and enjoying what I'm doing.
Okay. I like that response. That's good. And just stay in the moment. Somebody once told me it's called bloom where you're planted, right? Like we can't water any other areas but our own. And then where we are right now is all we can control. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens down the road, that's where God comes in and says, okay, this is the plan that I'm directing you on. It's got to be hard though. I have to imagine as an athlete though.
Yeah, it is. But I think I've been so overwhelmed and overcome with this whole recovery process dragging out as long as it has been. My mind has been so less focused on a lot of these external things that I normally would be thinking about. And right now I'm just so laser focused on these few things that are completely out of my control, but I'm going to do what I can to set myself up for the most success possible and just let those results happen the way they happen.
No, that's good. That's good. As we wind down, I just want to ask you, maybe when you think about gratitude and the Lord in your life, what are you most thankful for when you think about what God has done for you?
It's tough. There is so much to be thankful for, and it's something I need to be better at, is sitting down and really writing out the things I'm thankful for each day, because it is easy to get bogged down by the challenges you're going through. But I think at the end of the day, I'm really thankful for the people he's put in my life, my wife specifically, my family and friends that I've got here in Nashville. It's just been a challenging season, but it's been so special to really have a community come around me and be able to come around other people in that community and just do that commandment of love God and love people. That's what I want to be focused on. And being surrounded by people is the opportunity to love God by loving people well.
That's really well said. I forgot to ask you this, knowing that you're in Nashville, it's Music City. what's on the Steel Johnson Spotify playlist? Like what are you listening to? Are you all over the place, or do you have like a specific kind of genre that you're all in on?
Yeah, I pretty much only listen to metalcore music, and that shocks a lot of people. I get this all the time. I tell that to people and they're like, I would have not pegged you for a metal guy. And they're like, oh, is it like Metallica? And I'm like, no, it's like the screaming, like screamo, deathcore, metalcore. I just love that music. I've always been a fan of like pop punk growing up and Fall Out Boy. And then as I got into college, going to Warped Tour, I just got introduced to these metal bands. And a lot of those metalcore bands live here in Nashville. So they all roll through Nashville when they're on tours. So I've been to a lot of shows recently and hoping to go to a lot more in 2024. But yeah, I love metal music. It keeps my heart rate up when I'm in competition. But there is also this calming aspect to it with, you know, deep and meaningful lyrics that really have hit home through certain seasons of my life.
I love that. That's awesome. I love that there's like a complete pivot here on that side of things. Now, when you're in church and worship music is being played, I'm not saying that you can't enter into the spirit and praise and worship God, but are you kind of hoping for a little bit more upbeat sometimes?
No, I mean, I do love worship music as well. I mean, sure. I go to the Belonging Co, and the music at the Belonging Co, in my opinion, is the best of any church across the world. They just do it so well. Yeah. It's so well written, so well performed, and some of the best musicians being in Nashville, as well as vocalists. So it's really easy for me to really be in tune with the spirit during worship at church, because the worship is always dynamite. It's always so tight. I mean, they're all professional musicians who are just playing at church. And so it's been really special to be here and be a part of that environment. And it's something I just really love about Nashville, is the fact that musicians are here, and that directly translates to having incredible worship from huge musicians like Natalie Grant and Carrie Job on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of a big deal, right? And Nashville, I think it might even be more focused on Franklin, Tennessee, which I think is the Christian capital of the world as far as artists are concerned. But definitely being in Nashville, you guys get the best of the best coming through there, Steel Johnson.
Yeah.
This has been great, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate you. We'll be praying for you, and excited to see what 2024 brings when the Summer Olympics are around. We'll see. And I like that you're just taking it day by day, and that's the best way to approach it, I think, in trusting God.
Yeah, just got to take it one day at a time. That's something I've been reminded, you know, even in my own quiet reading time, is just the day-to-day provision and mercy of God. And so that's how I'm trying to live right now, is just don't think too far in the future. Just take every day one day at a time, because that's biblically based, and that's what I need to be doing right now. But Jason, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And many thanks to Steele Johnson for joining us here on Sports Spectrum. I love his personality. I love his outlook, right? Like just understanding that he can only control what he can control day by day. And he'll always have that 2016 Olympics moment, whatever happens. But I'm guessing being a competitive athlete at a really high level that he wants to get back. And it's day by day. It's a process. Five surgeries, though. That's so many. And I love his just perspective, right, on trusting God and understanding God has a plan, and God's going to use this for good, right? That's that Romans 8:28 verse, that God works all things together for those who love him, all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Steele Johnson is that guy right now, and I'm grateful that he came on our show to talk a little metal as well at the very end, how much he loves metal music, and that's cool. I love when people have a diverse appetite for music, and I'm kind of that guy too. I'm not a big metal guy, but I do like a lot of different types of music, and being at Belonging Co. over in Nashville, they got a great worship team as well. So really cool stuff there from Steele Johnson, and appreciate him being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you for tuning in to today's show. Please click that subscribe or that follow button on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on so that you don't miss any more episodes like today's with Steele Johnson. And of course, you can find all of our content, including this podcast, over at sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll see you next time with a brand new conversation here on the show. I hope you all have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you soon.